Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The most stressful hour of the week, according to some studies, is different for men and women, which okay. I guess shouldn't come as a huge surprise, right?
But I guess this would be the average, though, for women and for men. Now I'm curious to hear what the hour is for each of us.
Yeah, it's really strange. So for women, the most stressful hour of the week is 7 p.m. on either a Monday or a Tuesday. And I would say that there's an element of truth to that because it's just kicking off the week. 7 o'clock is that time where you got to get dinner cleaned up. You got to get the kids to bed. They do the homework. Are all the clothes they need washed and ironed? Like, you know, you start going through all that stuff that has to get ready and done. And the week is just beginning. The end is nowhere in sight on a Monday, right?
It's true. I mean, at least mentally, I feel more tired on a Monday than I do, say, on a Wednesday or a Thursday.
Right. But for the average man, and this is where the confusion comes in, they are the most stressed at 8 o'clock on a Friday. Why would that be? For me, that is like the time that I breathe, you know, that I'm like, I did it. I survived another week. Look, I did it, you know?
Well, I can't speak for all men everywhere, but I know that in my household, it would be, that's about the time that my wife knows that I have no activities for the next morning, and she expects me to entertain her. So either we're going out, or we're watching her favorite television show, or at the very least, I've got to stay awake long enough so I can act like I'm engaged in whatever it is that she's into instead of just falling asleep on the couch like I normally could on a Monday or Tuesday.
Now that I think about it, 8 o'clock on a Friday is usually when I start giving my husband all the stuff that I want him to do over the weekend and all the things that we have to do and the places we have to go. Oh, it's all coming together now, I guess.
And you're springing it on him. Yeah. He thinks he's survived the hardest parts of the week. Nope.
Just getting started.
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2 o'clock.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's report card.
Every week we check in with Raven's wife, Alicia, to see how he's been behaving as a husband. Alicia, what's going on?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
A little stressed out, Anna.
What's wrong? You know, what's going on?
The dog had surgery and I can't leave the house and he has to be carried everywhere and it's a lot.
It is a lot. And you just did it and now you have to do it again.
Yeah. I have to lay on the floor with him all the time and my back already hurts. Something's going on in my hip, so it's not helping.
I'm sorry.
I'm mentally exhausted.
You know, normal people don't go through these steps that we do, Anna, but we rotate who's going to be on the floor, who gets to sit on the couch. So that the dog is always taken care of. He's never alone. Do you think he appreciates it? The first 3 days, maybe.
It's so funny because, like, when Raven tells me how much you do for your dogs, I mean, obviously, you're huge dog lovers, and I love my puppy, too, but, like, nobody else does that.
No, we're
like,
crazy people.
Crazy people. Like, straight crazy dog people, which is nice and sweet in a way. Like, let's go over some of the stuff that you do for your dogs.
Normal routine right now of caring for the dog involves several different things. I mean, obviously, there's normal times for medications that he's got to have those.
Right, that's normal.
Yeah, mixing the medications in with the food, making sure that he'll eat those is normal. But is taking your hands to make sure that the dog drinks enough water, dipping them in the water bowl, running them over the dog's chin and lips until he is enticed to taking a drink of water?
Okay.
Is that normal?
I don't think I've ever done that.
Well, he won't drink. Like, he's not drinking water. He's so mad. I think it's, like, his way of...
It's a hunger strike.
Getting back at us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a hunger strike, except Barkley would never, ever, ever stop eating.
Never.
We're also doing hot compresses every 2 hours.
But did a doctor tell you to do that, or you just took that upon yourself as, like, an added measure of relaxation?
I mean, they recommended it.
Oh, but... no, it's part of the recovery.
Okay. That's different. If, like, yeah, if the doctor tells you to do it, that's one thing. If you just... opts to lay on the floor on a yoga mat covering your entire 700 square foot family room. That's a little bit different.
Yeah, we have $500 worth of yoga mats in the house right now.
Weird.
Alicia has informed me that we need to get a larger stroller because the dog stroller that we bought last time was just not large enough.
And all right.
I tend to agree that the window on the front of it is not spacious enough. I want him to be able to see where we're going when he's in the dog stroller. So,
I mean, how many dog strollers does one family need?
Well, apparently we need two.
They only lay down in it, Anna. It's too small. He can't lay down in it. It's for like a chihuahua.
Oh.
It's got to be comfortable. Ride first class. Then we also have a semi-large rectangle that's been put up in our living room right now with child gates that we all have to live inside that space. So we rotate. So, you know, one night she's on the floor, one night I'm on the floor or whatever. But both dogs tend to sit in there with you. Of course, you've got to have his water bowl and everything in that same space. Think of it as sitting in your child's playpen with them for 6 hours a night.
Okay.
And it's not padded.
I mean, I don't do that with my actual child.
Right. Well.
So what kind of grade do you want to give Raven for the week? Has he been supportive and helpful through all this?
He could do more, Anna. He could do a little more. I have to ask him to do all the things. You'd think that he would come home and see how broken I'm just so mentally exhausted. Like, I can't even have a conversation when he gets home.
Understood.
So, yeah, he could do a little bit more instead of me having to ask him to do everything, but... You know, we're a pretty good team. We're doing it.
All right. So what's going to be that magic grade for the week?
Yeah, B. He's getting a B.
That's pretty good, Raven. You can't complain about that.
Nah, I'll take it. I mean, it's better than laying on the floor for 6 hours, which is what I'm going to do after this phone call anyways.
Right.
It's actually my night. I'm stuck in there.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's that thing that drives you crazy about people? 1-800-330-9999. Raven, if you joke or prank about being pregnant, someone died, you lost your job, you had an affair, you have a serious illness, that is all I need to know about you.
So traumatizing pranks, basically. But you're saying every one of those is worse than the saran wrap over the toilet bowl.
Yeah, I hate April Fools. I just, one of those things that I'm just, I don't know. I just think it's corny and it's dumb, and I'm not alone. Yeah. 45% of Americans think they're amusing. 47% of Americans say it's annoying.
That's a majority for you nowadays, yeah. Right?
8% aren't sure how they feel about it. I mean, what do you mean? What do you
47,
mean?
47, 42, 8. I'm just trying to do the math here. Right? All right. Anyways.
Somebody got it right.
So, I'm not big on pranks myself either. No. Like, I mean, I feel like their time is kind of gone at this point. Mm-hmm. I'm even the person that, you know, so you would say, I mean, people have made careers out of this, become famous, not just viral, but like, you know, YouTube stars, TikTok stars, stuff like that. You know, they have those couples that are always pranking each other.
Yeah.
There's the one where they put butter on the floor in the bathroom, and the person comes in and they fall so hard.
Yep.
And there is their partner to run right in the room and be like, ah!
With the phone video.
I'll tell you right now, divorce. Yeah. Right now. There's no way I would be in that relationship moving forward.
Paul did the thing one year when he called and said he had lost his job.
Yeah, that's funny.
Real funny. You know, it's funny because even though I knew it was April like Fools.
Yeah.
I still was like a punch to the gut. I'm
right.
Like, what?
Right.
What do you mean?
You're on the other phone canceling your cable at the same time. He calls you back 15 minutes later. I was just kidding. You're like, I pulled our daughter out of private school. You know, like I went and bought ramen. Like, I did all the things I had to do to survive this.
The problem with today and April Fools is like, you don't know what's real and you don't know what's fake. So back in, I don't know if it was 94 or 95, you know, my dad had a restaurant. It was a beautiful restaurant.
Yeah.
And underneath he had a nightclub. Right. And he didn't really work at the nightclub. He had, like, the other guys work at the nightclub.
Sure.
But he was home asleep, and the phone rang, and it was April Fool's, and it was somebody saying that they were from the police department, and that there was a fire, and that the nightclub and the restaurant was being evacuated.
Oh, my gosh.
It was, like, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So my dad immediately says, guys, it's not funny, hangs up the phone.
Yeah.
Knowing that it was April Fool's all day, right? Guess what?
There was a fire.
There was a fire.
Oh, no.
Destroyed the whole restaurant.
Oh, no. And he never went even to be down there?
Well, no. They called back.
They called back.
Yeah. And one of the guys that worked for him was like, no, Dino, you got to come now. You got to come now.
Right.
Everybody was safe, thank God. But there was an electrical fire in the wine room that caused like a major fire. And like, I think about that all the time. And it's like, that's so annoying that you don't know what's real or fake today.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I just hope that we make this go away. We go, that's everybody stop.
I mean, think about it. That's before even deep fakes and stuff like that on the internet were a thing. They can fool you with anything nowadays.
Do you know in the UK it's rude to prank somebody after 12 p.m.? So you're supposed to get them all out of the way
make
by noon?
Make it happen in the morning.
Like, I'm into that.
It's actually not a terrible idea, right? That way we can get on with the business work day.
Yeah, absolutely. What was the reason why you skipped work last? 1-800-330-9999. Raven country superstar Eric Church, he canceled a huge sold-out arena concert in San Antonio this weekend so he could go to the Final Four game, North Carolina versus Duke.
I mean, it was a big game. Coach K's, you know, possible last game, all that stuff. Yeah, it's a big deal. I'm not a huge alumni or fan like that. I know, you know, certain people, they take their sports very, very seriously. And when you got the money and you got the ability to go and sit courtside and all that stuff, it does make it more attractive.
Yeah, he's a huge Tar Heels fan. But the problem is that all the people are outraged.
Right, the 30,000 people that were planning on going to your concert, and you just, you know, screwed up their plans.
He issued a statement saying this.
In a statement to fans, Church saying in part this, "This is also the most selfish thing I've ever asked the choir to do, to give up your Saturday night plans with us so that I can have this moment with my family and sports community."
I mean, now you're talking about your family and sports community. I mean, you had a great time drinking beers and hanging out with your friends.
Well,
I mean, that's what you did.
But if this is your life, like a lot of people, this is their life, right?
The sports thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but this is one of the fans who had bought, wait, this guy had 20 tickets. 20 tickets he bought to bring his family.
He was bringing all his family.
Yes.
Right.
I just couldn't believe that he canceled on all those people over going to a basketball game for himself. I will never go to an Eric Church concert. I'm not going to spend any money on Eric Church. Am I never going to listen to his music again? I love his music. It's going to be hard not to, but it affects the way I think about Eric Church for sure.
You know what? I mean, I think that's an honest statement, right? I mean, you feel like somebody disrespected you for what you view as a relatively shallow purpose.
Right.
I mean, listen, it's not just even to think about it. I mean, it's not just tickets, right? I mean, imagine, I'm sure this is at some location where there's hotels.
People had to fly
casino,
in there.
Anything like that around there. I mean, that stuff is expensive. It adds up. You've made plans. And he didn't cancel until the last moment. Because he didn't know the game was going to happen.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Some people weren't as nice.
And on Twitter, the reaction was swift. Like this woman, who calls the move really messed up, adding, quote, "I hope he gets sued and four flat tires on his way to the game."
Oh, my gosh.
That seems like a lot. Really mean.
I love it when news people have to deliver lines that are said with such vitriol, but then they have to, like, deliver it in a way that's so uptight and down the middle.
She tweets, "That's really messed up.
I'd like to burn his house down."
Right.
Wow.
I don't know. Skipping work. You know, I think if you're an average person, this is why I kind of feel bad for Eric Church.
Nah.
This is a normal guy. Normal guy that does whatever. He tends the bar.
He could take off work and nobody would even know.
Call in sick.
Yeah.
No, it's no big deal. But because he had a disappoint 30,000 fans that were going to this game, everybody's ready to jump down his throat.
Yeah.
But that brings up the big reason. What was the real fun reason why you skipped work last? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven.
I had the worst skip day. My wife was supposed to take my daughter to get her license, but she's like, "Nah, you know what? This is more you. You take her, right?" So I called in work, can't come in, sick, take her in the DMV, which is not a place I want to be on any day. But then she fails the driving test. Not only am I at the DMV, but I've got a crying daughter who is inconsolable for the rest of the day.
Aww.
And it's miserable.
That's a terrible skip day.
Yeah, I'm treating myself to whatever fast food I want on the way home on a day like that.
What was the reason why you skipped work? 1-800-330-9999. Country superstar Eric Church canceled a big arena sold-out concert this weekend in San Antonio because he wants to go see the Tar Heels play in the Final Four.
I mean, it's crazy, right? I mean, why don't you just use some of the LED screens at the concert place and put the game on those?
It's not the same. He's obsessed. He loves North Carolina.
I get it, but anybody that was in that area that's going to be going to his concert might have different feelings about him when it's over there.
Well, yeah, well, that's the whole thing is people are all, like, upset about it. And it's understandable when you're excited for a concert like that. But for the average person, you skip work for a fun reason. Like, it's great because nobody really cares, right? Except for maybe your boss.
I mean, most jobs, people never even know that you're gone, right?
Exactly.
Certain jobs, people will call you out.
What was the last reason why you skipped work? It's Anna and Raven.
I skipped work for jury duty, but, like, I was actually excited about it.
But you get a get out of work free card on that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, your work has to allow you to go. So I don't consider it skip. Like, if I've got to take PTO or vacation time or whatever, that's skipping out. If I give you an excuse and I skip out, that's skipping to me. Jury duty is just like, I got picked. Everybody be jealous.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so jealous.
It's the field trip.
I've never gotten to go on jury duty. I've gotten called once. Remember how excited I was, Raven, when I got called?
Yes.
And then they did a thing where you have to call the night before to see if they want you to come in, and they canceled me. And it was terrible. I was so excited to, like, sleep late, go in. It was going to be like I was on vacation.
There's nothing worse than being excited, and you go that morning, and then they tell you they don't need you. That's the worst. Or you're not picked after that. You're not a jury. Oh, that's the worst. But you wouldn't know because you never get to go in.
No, I never got to. I don't know if you know what happens when you get that far. Tana and Raven, what's your skip day?
I skip work every St. Patrick's Day. I never miss a beat. I am always the first one at the bar, the last one to close it down. That is my day, St. Patrick's Day.
A lot of people do that for their birthdays. I always never work on my birthday. I'm never around on my birthday. And neither are you, Raven, actually.
Here's the thing that would make more sense to me is take the day after your birthday, after St. Patty's Day off, right? You can always seem to skip out of work a little bit early. And when you do that, you make a good escape. Then you got to deal with the hangover the next day. Because if you take 2 days for St. Patty's Day...
Well, then you have a problem.
Yeah. Right? Now an intervention is necessary. If not, I'm not shaming your one day. I'm just questioning the placement.
It's Anna and Raven. What was your skip day?
So my best friend called me up and she asked me to skip work with her. So we did. And we went to go wait in line for The Price is Right. And we actually got inside. I mean, we didn't get to play, but we got into the audience.
Best day ever. That's so
cool.
Sounds
like a good skip day, as long as your boss didn't see you on TV.
Exactly.
On my honeymoon, my husband and I had shirts made up that said, like, newlyweds, Price is Right. And we were so excited to go. And we had tickets. We didn't know that you still have to line up hours and hours in advance. So we showed up. At the time, it told us to show up on the tickets.
Like airing time? Like recording time?
Well, whatever time it was instructed. And the line was like 7 million miles long. And we didn't make it. We didn't make the cut because they overgive tickets. We had no idea. We literally planned to be in L.A. solely to go on The Price is Right during those days.
Right.
On our honeymoon.
Right. You thought it was a guaranteed thing it would happen because you had the shirts.
Yeah.
And yeah.
We
and
got
we the
shirts
the
and everything. Look at us.
Oh, my God. I hated Bob Barker.
I'm so mad at him.
God rest his soul. It's terrible. Wait, is he dead? Is Bob Barker dead?
Did you just kill Bob Barker?
No, is he alive? Is Bob Barker alive?
Hold on.
Let's find out. Is Bob Barker... You know, he's still alive.
I thought he was.
I've never been so mad at Bob Barker in my life. I don't have to God rest his soul because he's still alive.
It's terrible. You just killed him.
You hear the term trauma dumping lately. It seems like the new hot words or phrase that everyone's been saying. But what exactly does that mean? Clinical social worker Kelly Kellerman. Kelly, what is trauma dumping?
Thanks for asking. Yeah, it does seem to be the hot topic out there. Usually what it infers is that someone will dump highly personal, emotional information on someone who most likely is not willing to hear that or maybe was even ready or prepared to accept that information.
Yeah.
So this is like when somebody goes, how's it going? And you go, you know what? Let's get real for a minute. And you tell them 10 things that are bothering you.
Except you were just buying a Diet Coke at the convenience store and you weren't ready to have that conversation with the cashier.
Exactly. The deer in headlights and, oh my God, what did I just walk into?
Are there some people that are more prone to doing this? Because I don't want to pigeonhole, but I feel like I have found that it's a lot younger people that have been doing this, like in their early 20s and mid 20s, that I feel like are much more oversharing than others.
Maybe because of their life and social media and the access to just sharing information in a different way. So I think they maybe feel like it's more comfortable.
To be fair, I mean, nowadays we want to make sure that we're respectful of people when they're talking about their feelings. I mean, we know that we've buried that for far too long, right? So how do you handle this?
Well, I think if we think about how we would prepare ourselves ahead of time and we sort of know what we want to do, that helps. And I think it depends on everybody's comfort level, but I think we can have empathy and just be a kind human. And if it's something that we are not willing to comment on, we can say, I can't help you. Would you like me to help you find somebody that might be more professional to handle this?
I found that if somebody asks me how I'm doing, I'm always like, I'm great. Everything's awesome. I mean, obviously, that's not true. I find very few people in life that everything is awesome and great all the time. But I have been so conditioned to that is my response. Is there something beneficial about being the one that does the trauma dumping?
Oh, definitely. I don't think we want to, you know, run around like a bunch of robots saying, you know, I'm great. Everything's fine. I think, you know, your audience, if it's a good friend that's asking how you're doing, you know, you can be honest and say, maybe, you know, this is not my greatest day right now. I think it's also important to just say, yeah, you know, maybe it's not my best day, but it's going to get better, and allow the other person the space to be able to chime in if they want to and get more information.
Okay, so Kelly, well, we're going to do some like, some role playing right here.
Yeah,
and
let's
you
do
tell
that.
Me what you do in this situation. So I come into work like I do every day, and I sit down. I'm like, all right, Raven, what's going on?
Well, you know, I'm really upset. Turns out that I'm the first guy on the planet to develop this rash. It's disgusting. It smells. It's pus-filled. Let me show you this rash right here.
Now,
I got to show you this.
How do I? What do I do in that situation when he's clearly oversharing?
That's a very big overshare. Man, it sounds like you are very uncomfortable and not feeling good right now. I think you need to take that to your doctor.
Okay, because my response is going to be like, ew, Raven, ew.
All right, try out this variant, all right?
Morning, Raven. All right, what's going on today?
Man, I've got this rash on my foot, and doctors don't know what it is. I'm going to cut my foot off.
No.
I've got a machete right now my car, duct tape, and a tourniquet. I'm cutting my foot off.
I have a phone number for you to call. But then I would have to have a phone number ready, which I clearly don't.
I mean, you did really good there. I feel like
you.
Kelly was going to answer that
all
and
right.
tell us what to do there. But,
yeah.
But you did good.
I was trying to figure out how to get away from the man with the machete. Oh,
right.
My goodness.
True.
What are you doing with a machete in
it's
your
in
car?
It's in the car. I'm going to take this coffee pot right on my ankle.
Where are you living
getting
that you need to have
today.
A machete in your car?
Just another day at work, Kelly. Just another day at work. Kelly Kellerman is a clinical social worker all about trauma dumping. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And college basketball's biggest night is underway.
There can be only one champion. And now we join Anna and Raven's coverage of the March Madness tournament.
Everybody's all excited. Final Four this weekend. It's time to, you know, figure out who's going to be the championship of basketball. But around here, that's not what we care about. We care about March Madness, looking to crown the biggest fad of all time.
We got some heavy hitters here today, here, Anna, too, deciding who's going to be in the finals, of course. It would be the elite, the best of the best. And the surprise, the big shocker to you this entire time, waterbeds.
Yes.
Coming out of my age of college years, and I'm not going to elaborate on that anymore because I'll get myself in trouble. But I had a massive waterbed at one point in my life. Bought it used on Craigslist. It was also the first time that I discovered Craigslist. That's how long ago this was. I think it was like $200. It took a pickup truck with, you know, beams hanging out of the side of it to transport this thing back to my apartment.
There's not many things that I find grosser than waterbeds, but the fact that Raven bought one used on Craigslist
just reinforces your thoughts on it.
100%. I just imagine you in a silk robe on your waterbed. Oh, gosh.
Not far off. Not far off. Thank you very much.
And let's be honest, waterbeds making it to the Final Four is a huge shock. I mean, it beat baby on board signs. It beat beanie babies. Like, that's a big deal.
Here's the thing about waterbeds. They don't like babies, clearly.
Okay. All right. Well, what could go up against waterbeds to make it to the finals in March Madness? None other than Cabbage Patch Kids dolls.
Cabbage Patch Kids. Each doll is different, and you can pretend to adopt them.
You're a pal. You're the only one. I love you.
They're each one of a kind. They're Cabbage Patch Kids. You can give them all your love.
Cabbage Patch Kids are each sold separately. Each doll comes with a pretend birth certificate and adoption papers from Coleco.
I mean, there's a lot of arguments, Raven, about whether Cabbage Patch Kids is still a fad because they still exist. But I would say
do
no.
They?
Of course they do.
No, but it's different now.
It's
they're
different.
Not the same.
Yes.
When they were made by Coleco and it was the first time in the 80s, that was the Cabbage Patch craze. I mean, after that, everybody was just trying to, you know, come back with a sequel.
Parents were going literally insane trying to get them for their children. My father included. I'll never forget. He waited 6 hours in line to get me one. He was my hero forever. Like, I don't remember much about my younger years, but I remember my dad walking in and, like, telling the story of how he had to wait out in the rain to get it, and he waited and he got it. It was like he was my hero at that point.
You know, again, I've told this story before, but the most defining thing for me whatsoever is the fact that my mother and father had been divorced for at least a decade at that point. They did not get along usually when there was, you know, custody handovers.
Yeah.
And my sister needed one so bad that my mother called my father who worked at Coleco and was nice to him long enough to get him to get one of those Cabbage Patch dolls. And it worked.
I mean, it's, but what, I would say that
after Christmas, they went back to hating each other.
I would say that waterbeds is the underdog in this competition, but It's up to you to decide who is going to make it to the finals and take on Pokemon Go. Is it going to be the Cabbage Patch Kids or Waterbeds? While everybody's watching basketball this weekend, it's all about March Fadness here, looking to crown the biggest fad of all time. We had the Sweet 16. You can see the full bracket at annonraven.com. We have dwindled it down. Already in the finals that's coming up on Monday is Pokemon Go. Now, what's going to go against Pokemon Go? Your options today? Waterbeds. That's been the Cinderella story throughout this entire thing.
Truly, it's been amazing. A great effect. Much like the unveiling, when you step into somebody's master bedroom area and you see that thing, you're like, wait a minute, what's happening in here? It's crazy time.
And who could take on the waterbeds? None other than the Cabbage Patch Kids, one of the greatest toy fads of all time. What are you voting for? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven.
And it's got to be Cabbage Patch Kids. All I think of is waterbeds are like grossness and fungus and... Grow your own Cabbage Patch Kids on a waterbed. Waterbeds are gross.
I mean, you guys don't understand about chlorine and stuff like that. I mean, you fill it. The waterbed does not get algae filled.
You put chlorine in your waterbed?
Yeah, I mean, you put whatever you got to put. I think it was like an iodine pill or something you would put in there.
Oh.
You know, the same stuff that would protect you from nuclear fallout. You know, it'll do the same thing. It'll keep the algae out of a waterbed as well.
Anna and Raven, what's it going to be? Cabbage Patch Kids or waterbeds?
Cabbage Patch for sure.
All right. I mean, I love all these things. These are both of them.
I mean, you cheer for both.
Yeah, that's no. Yeah. I mean, I'm in a rare spot here. Anna and Raven, Cabbage Patch Kids or Waterbeds? Who's moving to the finals?
Cabbage Patch Kids.
Running away with it.
Is it going to be Cabbage Patch Kids or Waterbeds making it to the finals?
Oh, definitely Waterbeds.
Waterbeds were the best, huh?
I mean, you keep saying that. Did you ever really have one, or you just think it's a bigger fad?
I mean, I had one as a kid, and it was so much fun, and... I loved it. I thought it was so cool.
Kids had waterbeds too?
They were allowed them, man. All right. Some kids have seen, you know, R-rated films. Some people have seen PG-13. Other people live a very sheltered life. You keep thinking the waterbed is creepy, but I will argue that by the time one gets to one's bedroom, the deal has already been sealed. Mm. All right. The choice has been made. We know what we're doing. So I want you to imagine that you've already made the bad choice. You've already gone with the little red devil on your shoulder instead of the little cherub angel. And when you get in there, the door parts and you see the glow of the satin sheets on the waterbed. And you think to yourself, whoa, we're in for a treat tonight.
March Fadness, what's it going to be? Cabbage Patch Kids or waterbeds?
I'm going to go for Cabbage Patch Kids.
I loved them. This is one of those rare opportunities, Anna, where I really don't feel like I lose, all right? Waterbeds, Cabbage Patch Dolls, fond memories of both.
But one of them you slept in every night like a creeper.
And the other one I slept with.
Hi, Anna and Raven. What's it going to be, Cabbage Patch Kids or waterbeds?
I'm going to go with Xavier Roberts' Little Babies, Cabbage Patch Kids all day, all day. Those things were huge.
A mountain of money. Just a wave of money came with Cabbage Patch Dolls. Do you know that the company that created those, within 5 years, was bankrupt?
Really?
Yeah, somebody at the top was having a great time. Sounds like South Beach party.
I was thinking about this. It's like, as soon as they came, like, I remember the dire need to have one and my dad going crazy to get me one. And then all of a sudden, it was like nobody cared anymore and they were gone.
Instantaneously. Bad financial decisions, too, though. I mean, who puts out their delivery drivers in DeLoreans? Just seems like a bad call.
Well, I guess it's all set. Cabbage Patch Kids has defeated Waterbeds and will be in the finals against Pokemon Go on Monday.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
Oh, that Friday margarita just tastes so much better after you know that you've done it. You've completed the week, and it was not easy. We don't care if you're a mom or you're a dad. We don't care if your kids have two legs or four legs and are furry. It's not easy being in charge of other things. So what did you do this week to earn your margarita? 1-800-330-9999. Dan and Raven.
Hi. So I have five kids, 7 months old, 2, 4, 5, and 8. And they've been all sick one by one this week, and it's just been doctor's offices and running around.
What is up with all these kids being sick? Like, I can't take it anymore. Like, my voice is finally sounding normal again. All this week, I've sounded like a I don't know. What did I sound like, Raven?
A man, baby.
A man. 100%. And they don't even keep their sicknesses to themselves, these children. They immediately give them to us.
It wasn't Anazep. It was her brother, Al. Hey, Raven.
It's not funny.
Yeah, and then Al got me sick, too.
Right.
Not appreciated.
Well, you enjoy that margarita, if your kids will allow you to have one, because you still got to take care of them.
Oh, yeah. No downtime.
Right. No. That was five. Anna and Raven, what'd you do this week to earn that margarita?
My dog ate a bath bomb, and everybody was freaking out, and he's fine. I took him to the vet, and, like, I don't know, maybe they passed it or it dissolved. But, yeah, everything's fine.
The bath bomb that's scary because it's glitter. But I could get it because they smell good. They smell like a tree.
My dog will
eat
literally anything. So it doesn't matter whether it smells like anything, whether it looks like something. He'll eat anything.
Well, enjoy that margarita. You deserved it.
I do.
Annie and Raven, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
Well, my son is learning about time in school. And so his teacher ended up emailing me because she asked him a question. And his response was, when is wine time? And she thought it was the funniest thing because I come home and I say, it's wine time. And I mean it, it's wine time.
When is wine time?
As soon as you can get in the door.
As soon as you get home.
All right, 5:30 most days, but it could be 12:32 if you got lucky.
Right. Well, I would say enjoy that margarita, but really enjoy your glass of wine.
No, on Fridays, it's tequila.
All right, then you enjoy your margarita, girl. Ever think things are too loud? Well, did you know that you can go into whisper mode? That's a real thing. So it's really only for your Alexa, Raven.
Okay.
So if you ever think your Alexa is too loud and her voice is too harsh, because I guess a lot of people have complained that her voice sounds monotone and a little bit angry.
It's true that I always feel like the volume has been turned up on my Alexa. I'm always asking her to turn it down.
Yeah, you can go into the settings and you can scroll down to voice responses and you can enable whisper mode on your Alexa for real. So we had producer Sean do it on our Alexa, and this is what it sounds like when you toggle whisper mode on Alexa.
Hey Alexa, what's your favorite color?
I like ultraviolet. It glows with everything. And here's another fun fact about me. If you'd like, I can learn your voice to do all sorts of neat things, like greeting you by name.
Wait a minute.
She got real creepy.
Wait a minute. I can learn your voice. Oh, okay. So this means that she identifies you as you, not she actually starts doing his voice.
I mean, I hope not.
Because that would be unbelievable.
If you'd like, I can learn your voice to do all sorts of neat things.
I don't know, but I don't like when she says it like that. It makes me feel really weird inside.
Well, Alexa has asked me to record things and then do the same thing for my wife so that they know your favorites. So when you walk in, you say, play my favorites instead of, hey, play Raven's favorites or whatever, you know, and then she just goes to it.
Is it creepier than when she says it in her whisper voice?
It glows with everything. And here's another fun fact about
me. It's weird, right?
Here's another fun fact about me.
I came up with the three things that I wish I could put in whisper mode. Mm. The first is my toddler, Dakota. This is what she sounds like normally all the time. The angriest toddler you could possibly have.
Daddy owns the Mogi.
That's Dakota all the time. Dakota is angry all the time. My mom told me that you can't have two kids like that. Like, because Hayden, my older daughter, was difficult. She lied. You 100% could have two kids like that. That is my life.
Anything can happen when you're lucky.
So I try to put her in whisper mode.
I like to whisper. I guess I whisper.
You know, funny thing is that when demons whisper, they sound hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, they'll eat you. Like, they're somewhere.
I like to whisper. I guess I whisper.
I'll eat your ankles. No. Right?
Yeah. You know what else is too loud?
What's that?
Axl Rose, in this clip, this is him screaming. He screams for 35 seconds before Welcome to the Jungle. He's just continuously screaming.
It's still screaming.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, he's in agony. All right. He's upset.
So we wondered, what would happen if Axl Rose whispered his songs? Producer John, take it away.
Welcome to the jungle. We got fun and games. We got everything you want. Halloween on the names.
You're not whispering enough.
Yeah, I feel like that's just
whispering.
That's Axl Rose when he's like retired.
It's like, welcome to the jungle.
Axl Rose.
We got fun and games.
One of two vocal cords is completely blown out. He's swallowed it now.
And the number one thing that is always too loud that I wish I could put in whisper mode is my co-host, Jay Raven, the loudest man in the world. So I've written some things right here for you, yeah. Raven. Okay. I would like for you to whisper these, and let's see how it sounds. Raven, go into whisper mode.
All right, I'll give
it a try. Read what I wrote.
I'm going to not yell as much so Anna could save money on Tylenol.
Oh, it sounds so good.
It hurts, actually, when I do it.
Sound like
to
so unnatural.
Do I sound like a creepy stalker when I whisper?
Yes.
I love animals. Ones with fur, ones with scales, even ones with skin.
Yeah, no, that's gross. I don't know what's worse, whisper Raven or normal really loud Raven.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Matt and Savannah. Savannah, let's start with you. What's going on?
I would like Matt to get a DNA test, and he refuses to do it.
Oh, boy.
Is this because he is the father or not the father? What do you mean, a DNA test?
Right, is this a Jerry Springer episode? What's going on
that
here?
That would be so much funnier. But no, we're just talking 23andMe. I got mine done. My brother got his done. And we found some cool stuff. And we've got some health stuff. I think it would be really good for him to try it. But he's just not interested.
First of all, Matt, why are you so anti-doing it? And Savannah, why do you care so much if he does it or not?
Yeah, so first of all, I'm adopted. And, you know, I never really thought about, I kept that, you know, out of my head. I didn't really want to think about, like, where I came from because I've seen other people go down that road and it's frustrating. And, hey, I don't want to deal with that. And honestly, it's, you know, what's the big deal? Who cares? Like, we're all here. So what if, like, you have a great-grandfather in Italy or, you know, Russia or Africa? What does that deal with now, the present? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the matter, right?
Well, on the one hand, obviously you have a choice, and so you can know as little about your history or as much about your history as you want to. And for some people, that curiosity is not there. Some people care very deeply about that, think that it helps to tell part of their story as a person. And other people say, no, it's the exact opposite of that. And frankly, I don't want to know. Health-wise, I do think that there are some benefits, depending on which system you're using, to find out hereditary, what you might have in your family or whatever that might be something that you should be cautious of or be preemptive of. But I have seen this go bad, too. I've seen people find out things they didn't want to find out. I've seen people discover that they had relatives that they didn't think they had, and you get your hopes up so much thinking that there's going to be some great connection, some great relationship, and it could be just the opposite. I've seen it go bad.
I mean, it's a very personal decision, too, if it's something that you want to do. Like, if that's not a can of worms you want to open, then, Savannah, what is your motivation for him to do this?
Well, it's mostly because he's adopted. Like, why wouldn't you want to find out what are the health conditions? What do your genes say about you? Don't our children deserve to know a little bit more about their own background?
Well, let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Savannah, that what's the big deal, Matt? Just see where you come from. See what it comes up with. But they may see your side, too, that this is your family, your life, and you don't want to. And if you feel uncomfortable, it shouldn't be something that you're pressured into, whether or not you have kids.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
I don't know. It's tough. So Matt and Savannah are married and they have children. Matt was adopted. And Savannah has been asking him to do one of those 23andMe DNA tests forever now. She's like, just do it. Let's find out where you're from. Like, it's important for the kids. But he just doesn't want to.
Yeah, I mean, hiding behind the kids is one thing. This is his life. This is his history. And he gets to decide whether or not he wants to delve into it. And his entire life, he said no. He does not want to know. He doesn't see the benefit of that. And he's cautious about the fact of what could happen could he find out that information. Health reasons aside, I mean, health reason is a good reason.
Yeah.
But does it solve every problem? It's not like you get a DNA test and you can, you know, cut off every cold or infliction you're going to have in your life either.
What do you think about this? Is Savannah in the right for pressuring her husband to get this DNA test to find out more about his background, where he comes from? 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court?
His side, because I went through a similar situation last year. I did ancestry DNA by my biological family after being pressured by my adopted father to do it for health reasons. It opened a whole can of worms.
I don't want to know. Am I the only one that doesn't want to know? Like, if there's skeletons somewhere in the closet, let them live there. I don't ever want to know that stuff.
My wife found two unexpected siblings.
Yep.
One, fantastic. couldn't be happier that we met her. The other one, terrible. Mm. And one lives very close by, and the other one lives 3,000 miles away. I'll let you figure out which one is which.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, I don't ever want that. Like, I don't even want that pressure. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Savannah really wants her husband, Matt, to get a DNA test. He was adopted, and they don't really know anything about his past. And now that they have children, she thinks it's important.
Matt doesn't think it's as big of a deal. First off, he doesn't really want to know about his past. He thinks that Savannah's just curious. She did hers, now she wants him to do his. It's like a puzzle to complete online. It's not actually something they need.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I'm on the guy's side. Also, because my mom is putting pressure on me to do the same thing. And the more she pressures me, the more I dig in my heels, oppositional defiance. Like, no, my DNA, you can't force me.
Somebody else's curiosity is not the reason to do something like this if you are hesitant to do it. Your own curiosity is one thing, but, you know, again, once you do it, you can't unring a bell.
Right? I understand all that, and I was 100% agreed with that until I was like, oh, but they have kids. Like, shouldn't the kids know? I don't know. Whose side are you on? It's Anna and Raven.
I'm on the husband's side. Let it go, Savannah.
Yeah, it seems to me anything that she could find out about their kids, like health moving forward, they could do their own genetic test and
exactly.
Find that out right there. And even then, it's probably going to connect them with the information from his background. So,
right. I mean, he's going to find it out anyway if they just do the kids.
If anybody he's ever been related to has filled out Ancestry or anything like that, I mean, it's on a database.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, I am on his side. I know a couple people who are adopted, and I know that one of them wants to know about their family while the other one doesn't. Very personal decision. He does not have to take it because she says that he has to.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Matt, our audience agreed with you today. They feel that it's your decision, and if your decision is you don't want to do it, Savannah, you need to back off.
That's fair. I don't want to push it in a bad way.
Honestly, it's kind of weird that they have your DNA. Like, I think I've seen some, like, companies, like, keep your DNA or something. Mm. And, you know, with Facebook using your information and, like, exploiting you, I'm just not comfortable with a third party having not just my info, but, like, my DNA to do whatever they want. You know what I'm saying?
Here we go, Anna. It's another person that's about to be framed for murder.
Yes, conspiracy.
Or that the Clone Wars begin, yeah. And all the stormtroopers are actually going to be clones of him. And, you know, you'll just have to deal with that, Matt, that there's 10,000 of you out there all wearing stormtrooper outfits. And okay.
Right, I don't need that.
Right, you're right.
If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot, thanks to Discover Card, is $4,300. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. All right, Danielle, you ready to do this?
Yes, I am.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Danielle.
Thank you.
Danielle, here's how it's going to work. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to do it?
Yes, I am.
Number one, Lizzo announced her own shapewear line called Yitty. It's in partnership with the athletic company that was co-founded in 2013 by Kate Hudson. What company is that?
Fabletics.
Number two, Christina Ricci will reprise her role as Wednesday Addams in Netflix's upcoming Wednesday series. What is the name of Wednesday's brother in the Addams family?
Pugsley.
Number three, the Razzies have rescinded Bruce Willis's worst performance award after his medical diagnosis. In Die Hard with a Vengeance, McClane and Zeus jump off a bridge onto a container that's supposed to be in New York, but it was actually filmed on the former John P. Memorial Bridge, better known as the Cooper River Bridge. What state is that in?
Oh, my goodness. That's hard. Florida.
Okay. Number four.
I have no idea.
Grammys are Sundays. John Batiste leads with 11 nominations. He is a jazz and R&B veteran, but is best known as the band leader of what late night host?
Jimmy Fallon.
And number five, it's April Fool's Day. In the iconic song The Joker by Steve Miller Band, the opening lyrics say, some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah. Some call me what?
The gangster of love.
All right. Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
3 out of 5 for Danielle.
All right, Danielle, no. Pretty good. Let's see how I do. No. $4,300 on a Friday.
Number one, Lizzo announced her own shapewear line called Yitty. It's in partnership with the athletic company that was co-founded in 2013 by Kate Hudson. What company is that?
Kate Hudson is Fabletics.
Yes. Number two, Christina Ricci will reprise her role as Wednesday Addams in Netflix's upcoming Wednesday series. What is the name of Wednesday's brother in the Addams family?
Pugsley.
Yes. Number three, the Razzies have rescinded Bruce Willis's Worst Performance Award after his medical diagnosis. In Die Hard with a Vengeance, McClane and Zeus jump off a bridge onto a container that's supposed to be in New York, but it was actually filmed on the former John P. Memorial Bridge, better known as the Cooper River Bridge. What state is that in?
Isn't that in the Carolinas?
Well, I mean, it has to be one or the other, so pick one.
God, I gotta take a shot here. I'm just gonna say South Carolina?
Yes.
Yeah!
Number four, Grammys are Sunday. John Batiste leads with 11 nominations. He's a jazz and R&B veteran, but is better known as the band leader of what late night host?
Isn't it Colbert Show?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, my God, today, Raven.
I only know because it's in the promos for the Grammys.
All right, number five, it's April Fool's Day. In the iconic song, The Joker by Steve Miller Band, the opening lyrics say that some people call me the space cowboy, yeah, and some call me what?
The gangster love.
I'm sure. Sorry, Danielle.
Some people call me Maurice.
Okay.
But I speak.
Okay.
The prophecies of love.
All right, let's move on. Danielle, I'm sorry. He beat you 5-2-3 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
That's okay. Thank you. It's Danielle, and I can't beat Raven.
Oh, thanks for trying. Hold on.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $4,400 on Monday.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.